Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hello, all, and welcome back to a bitterly cold 30th of December. I'm recording this at 6 p.m. and the video should be out right now, so I'm so sorry if this, again, my awful timekeeping, Tuesday at Dobbs episode ends up being a Wednesday at Dobbs. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. It's hugely appreciated. All of you have made this podcast what it is over the past year and beyond. Thank you so much. Best place to share your thoughts and opinions, comment section below. And if you have a longer story made with some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. I have got so much exciting stuff to get on with. And again, it's all thanks to you. Why don't we start with back onto the big adventure bikes. But which one to go for? From Mark. Freddie, slowly but surely, the idea of getting back into biking after a 10-year break returned. With approval from my wife and now two daughters, I started looking. Having watched yourself and a few others riding Himalayans, I thought this would be a good reintroduction to biking. So I found a two-year-old one with less than 2,000 miles on it, and it felt so good to be back on two wheels. I've had it since the start of the year, and whilst I do love it, I feel that it's time to get something bigger again. After all, my real passion is touring. And this is where I need your help. I'm looking at another big trails bike like I used to had before my break from biking. I've settled on either BMW GS1150 or GS1200 or Triumph Tiger 1050. My budget's £3,500. There are lots of these bikes in that price range, so I've got plenty to choose from. However, I have a dilemma. I've always wanted the big BMW GS. When I had my old 650 GS, it was a compromise as I couldn't afford a big one at the time. There are, though, now a few in the price range that I can afford. They're mostly 2008 and earlier, with approximately 40,000 miles on the clock. So, my heart is saying, buy a GS. My head, however, thinks I should look at the Tiger 1050. I recall it was your bike of the week fairly recently. For the same price as that older BMW GS, I can get a more recent Triumph Tiger with lower mileage, which seems to be a much better option. What to do? Mark. Mark, welcome back to biking. There is nothing I prefer more than questions like this. Let's take a look at these bikes first off. Let's put it on this side. Triumph Tiger 1050. 2006 to 2012, 1050cc engine, and it's an engine I know so well because I lived for 4 years with the Triumph Speed Triple with this engine. Triple, excellent, excellent engine. It's really very special. This one's got 115 horsepower, so detuned by 15 horsepower when compared to the super naked Triumph Speed Triple of its era. 198 kilos, that must be dry weight. Owners of these rate them extremely highly. I think they get 4.6 out of 5 from owners on MCN. And they are clearly well built, because looking at the classifieds, there are plenty of these with over 60,000 miles on the clock. So that means they are reliable, they're rugged, they are well trusted by their owners. And of course, they're more than comfortable enough to do these big distances on. What can I find for one of these? £3,500. It's easy. I mean, you can even pick one of these up for, I think, closer to 2,000, but I've gone top end of the budget. £3,500 will get you a 2012 model pictured here with 25,000 miles on the clock. And that, from a dealer, or £3,700, you get £200 off, I'm sure. That is a good chunk of bike for the money. Now let's compare it to A BMW GS. Remember all those stats. In fact, you don't need to remember. I'll keep those up here. Let's check out the BMW R1200 GS. I've actually had a look at the older, or the newer ones as well, the R1250. Forget it. They are way out of price range for £3,500. You probably need double that for the later model, because the later model is the last of those really butch, rugged looking GSs before the brand new one came out. It may go down as the one to have. So you need the model earlier, exactly like you're looking for, Mark. You need the R1200 GS. So this R1200 GS made, and I did a double take here, I almost couldn't believe it, 2004 to 2019. Is that right? I assume it must be right. That's a 15-year production run. 1200cc, so slightly bigger engine than the Triumph. 199 kilos dry weight. So as near as makes no difference, the exact same weight as the Tiger. 100 horsepower, so 15 horsepower down. And interestingly, I found this fascinating, MCN rates the BMW GS R1200 GS 5 out of 5 stars, yet owners rate it at 3.5 out of 5 stars. So owners rate the BMW GS lower than owners rate the Triumph Tiger, but MCN rates the BMW GS higher than the Triumph Tiger. The roles are reversed for both, so you need to make your mind up and decide what is more important for you, owner's reviews or the MCN review. So £3,500, you can get a 2007 model with 45,000 miles on the clock. And I'm comparing here specifically, to keep it level, Auto Trader options against Auto Trader options for the Triumph and the BMW. So what you get for the BMW, you get a bike with 20,000 more miles on the clock and 5 years older. That's what we're looking at. So in essence, the same price BMW compared to the Triumph, 5 year older bike, almost double the mileage. Let's just have a quick look at this while I get it up on the screen, this BMW. First off, put the BMW and the Triumph side by side here. The BMW obviously is older with more miles, but for me, and it's personal preference, the BMW for me is a much better looking bike. I usually go on the looks and what something does emotively for me first. Then I have to say, if these are side by side, I take the BMW, because it's a bike that just stirs my soul a bit more. It's got a more muscular, rugged look compared to the Triumph. I don't think the Triumph is an especially good looking adventure bike. It scores well, it will be an excellent bike, but a looker, no, for me it's not. Whereas this 1200 GS, this is definitely a looker. I love the fact it's stripped back. I love the fact you can see all of the metal frame elements on it. It's just got a really purposeful look to it that has aged excellently. This one's 18, nearly 19 years old, and I think it still looks current and up to date. And Mark, going on what you were saying, do you go with your head or your heart? You've got into biking for passion. You have to buy the dream bike. Forget about the Triumph. Yes, you're going to lose 5 years to the BMW. You're going to have double the mileage on the BMW. And the BMW may not even be as reliable, but you want the BMW GS. You've got back into biking because it stirs the soul. It gets you excited. So you've got to go out and get your dream bike. So all you're going to do is get the Triumph and then realize, damn it, I still want the BMW. And we get to an era here. Let's say 2005 to 2017, 2018 with motorbikes. This is an era that a lot of people regard as the sweet spot. There's no issues with rust or anything like that. All of the rust protection in this era is completely sorted. You've got all of the rock solid mechanicals. You've got enough electronics there to keep you in your place within reason, but it hasn't gone completely overboard with government enforced electronic aids. So you're going to have all of the benefits from good technology and good build quality, but it's not going to be completely overtaken with unnecessary electronics. So I don't think at this era, 2007 compared to 2012, you have to worry about the extra 5 years. These bikes from BMW, they're going to be extremely well built. You're going to have all of the parts supply, because BMW are very good for aftermarket support for parts. This is going to be a rock solid bike, and 45,000 miles on a BMW GS is nothing. 100,000 miles is very common on GSs. But I'll go one more for you, Mark. There is quite an eye-opening difference, and this is not always the case with all models, from Auto Trader and trade sales, so going to a dealership, versus buying privately. So I found you a £3,500 bike there, but actually, if you go onto Auto Trader, it's very easy to find bikes for £2,800, and I will actually show you my pick. If I were going to buy a bike, I would take this one. Facebook Marketplace, £3,795, reduced about £1,000, this one. So they're not shifting quickly, these. It's got 35,000 miles on the clock, and it's a 2009 model. So this closes the gap from an age point of view, and it also lowers the mileage by 10,000. And on top of that, look, you get all of the luggage, including the back box and a little backrest as well on top of it. That is the bike I go for. Mark, let me know how you get on. But make sure, don't get anything in between. Go and get your dream bike, Mark. You want a GS. I can hear it in your voice, the way you write. You want a GS, it's your dream bike. Go and get a GS. Forget about the Triumph because it's not your dream bike. Moving on. The best of British from Chris. Freddie, the commentator last week who moaned about British brands being made abroad. But what British bikes are even made here anymore? You have to buy foreign or walk. Yeah, Chris, you're right. We in the UK, certainly for bikes, make almost nothing anymore. And in the car industry, it is starting to go that way as well. But there is one brand that proudly make their bikes in the UK, and that's Norton. Although as I'm saying this, I realise that Norton have actually, I think, completely stopped production for now. All of the old bikes like the Commando, I think they've ceased production as they get ready for the 2026 relaunch. And even saying this now, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is exactly what Jaguar have been saying. And I know the gentleman in charge of the Jaguar revival is the same gentleman in charge of the Norton revival. So I'm getting a bit freaked out here even saying that, but as I speak, Norton have their factory in the UK in Solihull, and this is where they've built their Nortons and other accompanying bikes, and this is where they're going to build the brand new selection of 2026 bikes as well. These are the plans for Norton, so they're going to carry on, and we should salute them for it. They're going to carry on motorcycle production in Solihull, England. But, and I think this is a huge mistake, Norton is a thing of the past. Norton's a thing of the past. The Commando is a thing of the past. This is such a frustrating bike for me. I remember when I tested the Norton Commando, I thought that is the most incredible looking bike I've ever seen. But it's almost like the epitome of why the British bike industry failed so catastrophically at the end of the 60s and early 70s because of really awful mistakes and appalling management. Because you look at the Norton Commando, the new one, and it's a great looking bike, but there's some just unacceptable oversights on design and finish and build quality in certain ridiculous areas, like the indicators. The indicators on a Norton Commando are just picked from the lowest budget sports bike modification company. The cheapest ones you could possibly imagine. Norton must have gone to them and said, what are the cheapest, most appalling looking pieces of junk indicators you can possibly sell us? Great, we'll take 10,000 of them. And they just put them on the Norton. And they carried on keeping them on till the very end of production. That's just one example. Makes no sense at all. I don't know how that was ever signed off for and not rectified, but it wasn't. However, at its core, the Norton Commando is an incredibly, incredibly special machine. And if I had the budget, I would hand on heart buy one of these. I really like these. I can see myself in the future maybe getting one, and I would never try and justify it from common sense, but I just love it deep down. Importantly, because Norton has, over a few years, been such an atrociously managed company with Stuart Garner, who stole everyone's pensions, you do not really want to buy a Norton Commando from, I think, 2010 when they came out, all the way through to about 2021, because they are plagued with reliability and build quality issues, because Stuart Gardner just wanted to bleed, that's the Norton CEO, he wanted to bleed the company dry and bleed the bank accounts of the employees dry as well. Everything had to be taken for him, in essence. However, the Indians have come along and they've saved Norton, because without the Indians, Norton would be nothing. It would be dead and gone. They've saved it. They put a lot of money into it, into the factory in Solihull. And from 2023 onwards, the Norton Commandos had the vast majority of their build quality and reliability issues fixed. So if you are going to buy a Norton Commando, the best of British, Chris and everyone else, try and get a 2023 model, because this will be your best chance of buying a bike that is as livable as possible to own. Let's have a look and see what I can find. Norton Commando 2023 and onwards. I mean, prices here, bear in mind it's a £17,000 bike. Prices on Auto Trader start at £10,000. So £10,000 for a two-year-old bike. Look, they look excellent. I really like these. Do you know what's more interesting than this though? Auto Trader, Norton Commando. Price high, no, actually not even price high to low. I'll put newest models first. Norton Commando, this is absolutely crazy. This is insane. So I went onto Norton's website earlier. The Commando isn't there. All of the old bikes have been taken off Norton's website, got all this rebranding. Personally, I preferred the old logo. That's fine, it's personal opinion. The Norton, everything else has been taken off Norton's website. It's now only the new models, that's it. Everything else is wiped off. But I'm looking here on Auto Trader, all of these new Norton Commandos at loads of different dealerships around the country, and every one of them says £17,000 retail registered price crossed out, £17,500 retail registered price crossed out, brand new bike. The prices they're going for now, £13,500. Norton are desperately trying to get rid of the Commandos, clear all of the stock. There are £3,500 discounts on Norton Commandos right now. This is insane. And this is across the board, across the country. The price of the Norton Commando, for Norton to desperately get rid of it so they can hold in the start of a new era for Norton, their most famous bike across the board is offered at a £3,500 reduction. 17 and a half or 17,000 to 13,500. Wow! That's just made it even more appealing. I would say there's almost no point now going for 2 or 3 year old Norton Commando. Why would you when you can buy a brand new one from a dealer with the warranty and everything else that goes with it? And they're even offering here, this one, they're so keen to sell. This one is 17 and a half or 17,000 reduced to 13,500 with 0% APR. 0% APR. If you want to give yourself a late Christmas present or early New Year's present, if that's a thing, go and get a Norton Commando. That's a seriously good deal. If I was slightly wealthier, I'd consider that. Okay, moving on. Predicting future classics. This is from FF Voyager. Freddie, with regards to finding a future classic, you are doing this wrong, or you're doing this the wrong way around. You have to imagine what younger people today will want to buy when they're older. I doubt many people in their 20s or 30s are looking at the first iteration of the Triumph Rocket. This is from last week. I said a Triumph Rocket will be a future classic. What bike will the youngsters of now be looking at in 2055 as a classic of its era? My guess, FF Voyager, this is a bold statement. My guess is that since road transport in 2055 will be largely electrified by then, they will be looking at, get ready for this, this is seriously bold, they'll be looking at Harley-Davidson Livewires, early Zero motorcycles, Energicas, as well as Vectrix and the BMW C Evolution as the start of where they're at by then. They will be the iconic bikes in 30 years. So you think Zero and Harley-Davidson Livewires will be the iconic bikes in 30 years' time? Okay, carrying on here, just to wrap it up, this is fascinating. I'd also add on, for cars, an early Nissan Leaf, Tesla Model S, and BMW i3 to the Future Classic Storage Facility 2. Oh, thank you for instigating such a fascinating discussion here. I think personally, you're underestimating the importance of beauty when we look at classic vehicles, because there isn't one vehicle here that you've listed that, in my opinion, is beautiful. There isn't even one vehicle here that is that's got any kind of unique visual character that makes it appealing on any level for me personally. So I think you're missing the biggest point here. On top of that, none of these vehicles have character. They just don't. And this isn't me being anti-EV, but none of the vehicles you've listed here have character from a visual point of view or a driving point of view. Not one of them. The only one potentially I could get behind is the Harley-Davidson Livewire. And the only reason I could get behind the Harley-Davidson Livewire as a potential future classic, and I'm clutching at straws here, is because Harley-Davidson, when they brought out the Livewire, they aimed for the stars. A big manufacturer, one of the biggest, and they're coming out with an electric bike that they planned to change the face of motorcycling. This was a big deal. They pumped huge amounts into marketing. They told the world, this is going to be the future. Get ready. We're putting everything into electric motorcycles. We're doing a huge step away from all of our cruisers and tourer motorcycles. And look what we've just come out with. Welcome to not only the future of motorcycling, welcome to a glance into the future of Harley-Davidson, a brand that's associated with being slightly behind the times with regards to technology. Well, guess what? We've just jumped one ahead of everyone else. Look at what we've done. And then Livewire ended up being probably one of the biggest failures in motorcycling over the past 5 years. But that doesn't really matter because they aim for the stars. They failed spectacularly with it, unfortunately. But at the very least, that Livewire is a story to tell. And the Harley-Davidson Livewire, before it became branded Livewire the brand, there is a story behind that. So that story is going to be worth something, I agree. I can get behind the fact the Harley-Davidson Livewire could be a potential future classic, if only from a talking point of view. So let's take a look at these Harley-Davidson Livewires and what you can get. So first off, the shocking thing, how few of these there are anywhere. I think there are about six of them on Auto Trader at the moment. Harley-Davidson Livewire. This is a 2022 model, so 3 years old. Bear in mind it was about £30,000 brand new. Now it's £9,590. It's an okay looking bike. It is. But that's a pretty big drop value-wise in 3 years. And there it is. It's like a super naked, isn't it? Okay, fine. That's the Livewire. I found something even more interesting. First off, do I think that could be a classic? Yeah, potentially. Fine. Yes, it could be because of this story, like I said earlier. It could be. But look at this. I then went on to Livewire the brand on Auto Trader. This is really interesting. To show how few they've sold here in the UK, there are, of Livewire branded motorbikes, five currently for sale on Auto Trader in the United Kingdom. Five. I think even in the USA, they sell about one every 3 months or something like that. It's a shame the brand won't be around in a year or two's time. Livewire won't exist. The production will stop. I truly believe it. Brand new Livewires two different ones for these savings. The brand new Livewire Mulholland, retail price £17,890. And across two different locations, brand new ones reduced to £9,700. That is an £8,000 discount on a brand new bike. They've near enough halved the price of the bike to try and sell them. So if we're looking at future classics, maybe the Harley Livewire, certainly no other Livewires, unfortunately. But FF Voyager, thank you so much for such a fascinating discussion. I really enjoyed that. Final, bike of the week. The German Hayabusa. This is from Thomas. Thomas, I was inspired by this. Freddie, this is me and my girlfriend on my BMW K1300S for your perusal. Brackets, just local, low-speed commuting, hence the trainers, etc. Thomas, you won't get any judgment from me at all. I have no issue with that. From Thomas, brackets, vehicle technician based in Harrogate, North Yorkshire. Thomas, it's a pleasure to hear from you. And the second I saw this photo of you and your partner on your incredible-looking K1300S, I immediately started Googling what these are like in the used market, because I was so fascinated by it. It's such a good-looking bike. I think it's been Bike of the Week before, but it's been a while. I really like these bikes. And it is like the German Hayabusa. Just take a look at some of these stats. 1300cc engine, like the Hayabusa. 175 horsepower. So that's, within 10 horsepower of the Hayabusa. 228 kilo dry weight, incredibly similar to the Busa. And interestingly, when these first came out in 2009 and production carried on to 2016, ABS and traction control were optional extras. So you could get this German monster with 175 horsepower with no ABS. You had to spec ABS and pay extra for that. The base stock bike with nothing else, if you want the cheapest possible one, came with no rider modes and no ABS. Let that soak in for a second. Owners rate these bikes extremely highly, and MCN, as they often do, they've summed this up beautifully. The motor was the biggest... Oh, this is amazing. The motor was the biggest single area of improvement when compared to the predecessor. Engineering development was handed over to the Spanner Magicians at Ricardo, and that's the same firm that designed the gearbox for the 1,000 horsepower Bugatti Veyron hypercar. This was the first time BMW had worked with Ricardo on one of its bikes. The result was a claimed 175 horsepower from an increased 1293 four-cylinder motor that was much smoother with bundles of power and torque. It was one of the best big capacity motors on the road, combining lovely refinement with a racing engine snarl when pushed. And yes, it was very, very fast. So what can I find? One of these incredible feats of engineering. If you want to buy yourself a present for celebrating an excellent 2025, take a look at what you get for the money with one of these. I can scarcely believe it. For this hyperbike, straight out of Germany, £2,500. In fact, less than that, £2,490. 2010 model. That is so much bike for the money. It's insanely tempting. 55,000 miles on the clock, in my favourite colour combo here. And if you need it, it's got that back box. But that is such a good-looking bike. And it's a painfully large amount of bike for the money that makes it almost irresistible at that price. It's worth a punt, surely. And I will wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you, everyone, for the support in 2025. And here is to a fantastic 2026.